Scrooge.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight? Praise God. Word of God says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. It didn't say when things are going good. It just said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad to be here tonight. His presence, praise God. The Bible says in His presence there's fullness of joy. At His right hand there's pleasures forevermore, praise God. But I'm going to rejoice in His presence tonight. We're in His presence tonight. He said whenever two or three are gathered together in His name, He's in the midst. He's used to being around here, praise. He's been a long time member of this church. He's the head of the church, praise God. I'm glad to be in His house tonight to lift up His name with all these wonderful people. Praise God, y'all. Just look at somebody around you and say, man, I'm so glad you're here tonight. Praise God. Look at them again and say, hey, we're going to have a great time in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. What we have is to look at yourself now and say, what happens around here depends on what I do. What happens around here depends on what me and you do here tonight. We can have church. Well, we can just kind of go through the motions and get ready for the next week. But I'm ready to have, I don't know about you, I'm ready to have church here tonight. I think the Lord wants us to have church. We don't know how many more services we have to have church. Praise God. We need to press into His presence. And I'm so thankful tonight. If you're a visitor here tonight, we're thankful you came. We got some special things going on tonight. Praise God. As we hear from various ones from our church, our saints are going to speak tonight. Also, I'm going to get some announcements. Let me make sure I'm doing this right. Okay. Monday, April 20th through the 22nd is going to be from 6:30 to 7:30 is in the Blast Kids areas. It's going to be the 2026 Kids Crusade with Brother Kevin Merriman, and that's for ages 4 through 14. All right. Those kids ought to be excited for that. Thursday, April 30th is going to be the Ladies United Fellowship. Sister Victoria King is going to be speaking. They're going to be at Garibaldi's Mexican Restaurant at 6 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd, 5 to 9 p.m. is going to be a men's gathering. The Watch is hosting a men's gathering Saturday, May 2nd from 5 to 9 p.m. Dinner and games will be provided at no cost. Please RSVP by Wednesday. Hang on a second. I may have that wrong. I think that may be April 29th. Wednesday, April 29th. Please invite a friend. Let's have a good time together, you men. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, right? It's good for men to come together and fellowship and be in fellowship together. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to transition into worship. How many's ready to worship? You know, He's worthy of our worship tonight. He's worthy of whatever you give Him. Praise God. He's worthy. We could never worship Him enough. We could never praise Him enough. I am thankful that He opened up the door for me and Brother Jeff again. I asked y'all to pray about that, and the Lord opened not very long. Praise God. We got to go back into the prison this morning. Brother Jeff did a great job ministering to those men. We had a good time. But let's get ready to praise God around here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the time that we have here tonight to come and gather in your presence. We're so thankful, Lord, that you brought us here. Lord God, we pray tonight, Lord, as we begin to worship and praise you, that your presence would fill this house, Lord, that you would touch the hearts and minds of each one here tonight. We give you the praise and glory tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead and praise him tonight. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap offering tonight. Hallelujah. As our worship team comes to lead us. Hallelujah. Y'all just worship the Lord tonight.
See how
that he's a great God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Some of you just need to step into the water tonight.
Hallelujah.
Stop being a casual observer and step into the waters.
Praise God.
Wade out a little bit deeper.
Praise God. My. Hallelujah. I love what I feel here tonight. Praise God. Wow. Let's give it my hand. Praise God.
Ask our ushers to come at this time. Praise God, we're going to receive our tithes and offering. Praise God. Remember those on our board tonight that need prayer tonight. We want to lift them up in prayer. Don't want to name every name up there, but there's those that's been on our prayer list who we need to lift them up. Praise God. If you've got a special need in your life, now would be a good time. Praise God. While the waters are troubled, if you feel like you need a touch from the Lord, if you need some direction in your life, please come to the front at this time. Ministers and others will pray with you. Praise God. We're going to pray over this offering tonight. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to bless your kingdom, Lord. We just pray tonight for each heart, Lord, each life, each family, Lord, as we pour into this cause, Lord, we just thank you, God, for your leading and your directing in this way, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise God. Y'all continue to worship the Lord tonight. Praise God.
Fails me all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Every breath that I am made. Not what you walked in with tonight. The Lord can lift the load. Come on, he's still a burden bearer. Come on, somebody, he's still a burden bearer. It matters not what you're facing tonight. It matters not what you're up against. Come on, there's a move of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. Mighty God, we lift you up this evening, Jesus. Come on, UPC, help me pray right now. Let's not miss this moment right here. Come on, somebody, pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost on this Sunday night. Oh, God, we love you. God, we love you. God, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. If it's appropriate, grab somebody by the hand. Let's just, they're in unity right now. Let's pray. God, you see my brother. You see my sister right now. God, you know what trial, what valley they're walking through this Sunday evening. I ask you, God, to be a strength tonight. Come on, pray for your brother. Pray for your sister right now. I pray, oh God, supernatural strength in this house. I pray right now, God, lift the loads of your people right now in the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
We're super excited to bring to you the saints. My voice is cracking. I'm not in puberty, I promise. We're excited to bring to you the saints speak on a Sunday night. Amen. And God is good, and it's going to be a great evening here. And here several weeks ago or so on a Sunday night, I had an idea here about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. Sister Taylor can correct me, but she had sent us a testimony that her life and what God had done for her as a new believer and growing up in the Lord, and I thought it was so worth sharing. And on a Sunday evening, Brother Kelso, I believe, was preaching that night, just came to me that you should have some saints speak. And lots of times you hear from preachers, and sometimes hearing from a preacher can become methodical and just one ear out the other, but it does good to hear from somebody else every now and again. And who else to hear from than a good saint of God? Amen. We thank God for the saints of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. And I thought, I told you Wednesday night that tonight's kind of like a buffet, and you'll get a multiplicity of subjects this evening. And I had talked to Brother Martinez here several, I guess a couple weeks back or so, and asked him if he'd be willing to speak tonight. And I kind of wanted to start this off in a more practical way. And that is, in case you didn't know it, I know some of our church isn't here tonight, but for those of you who are here, in case you didn't know it, we got a lot of business owners in our church. And I made a list of business owners here a while back in my phone. And Matt and Stacy Bratcher, they owned Bratcher Landscaping. Brother Darren Hamner owns Property Doctor. Brother Matthew Bright, Taco Delight. Sister Tammy Usry, Daycare Center. Jeremy Calicoat, remodeling work. Heather Morton does now private practice counseling service. Brother Tanner Malone, has a plumbing company, and Brother Martinez, of course, has his advertising company, now rental properties. And we're blessed at the United Pentecostal Church to have business owners in our church. And that's not to take away from anyone who works a day job, but I wanted to specifically have Brother Martinez tonight just speak, take 5 to 7 minutes, and talk to us tonight on it is, I believe, of utmost importance that we, as a local body, we should support those among us who they derive full incomes from a personal business. Now, I'm not saying tonight you have to go sign up. There's a sign-up sheet at the door waiting for you when you leave tonight to sign up for work. But it's good to help those who are among us. And Brother Martinez will read some scriptures about this. And I want him to come, though, tonight. He's going to talk to us. It's a very practical subject on business ownership and how good it is for us as saints of God to support that. Would you please welcome the man of the hour, Brother James Martinez.
Well, for those of you that don't know me, I'm James Martinez. And this is going to be a fast breakdown of 33 years in business, self-employed for 30 years. So we have two businesses, Discover Billboards, which is a billboard company, and then we own Creative Real Estate Investments, which is real estate, duplexes, triplexes, offices, commercial buildings. But as far as billboards, I started my career in 1993 working for a billboard company, learning the business. And then in 1996, I built my very first billboard. Today, we have over 200 billboards. Every billboard I built, thank you. Every billboard I built has a story. And I have some great friendships along the way that have helped me. Friendships that actually started right here in this church when I was in the youth group. So my first solid foundation is God. Even today, we don't ever buy anything without asking God. See, I got the Holy Ghost at this church during a revival. When Brother Myers said, God would meet anyone halfway if he would like to come to the altar. I walked out of my pew 5 feet, and the Holy Ghost got me right there. Yeah. So after seeing that, it's kind of hard to tell somebody that or to have any type of doubt. I mean, it's, you know, I know when I walked out of there, it was something was different. So you can't convince me he doesn't listen. God has done so many things in my life that, I mean, if I literally told you everything, you wouldn't even believe it because it's a lot of it's unbelievable. A lot of it's financial. And God doesn't want you to be broke. I mean, if he did, he would have never given so much stuff to Job. You've heard it said 1,000 times in this church that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is. He wants your heart. He wants your repentance so he can be closer to you. And when you pray, be specific in your prayer. Then when God answers you, you have no doubt left. You know it was God. And you can get past that part of like, I know people that sit in church for 20, 30 years, and they still question, like, whether it's real. I mean, that's 30 years down the drain. So I use the story of Job in my life. And not too many people know this, but when I pray for forgiveness of my sins, I pray for forgiveness of my family's sins, even the family members who have passed. I caught myself over there a couple of weeks ago. I lost a cousin maybe 2 years ago. And just when I was praying, it just came out, you know, have mercy on him. I don't know what kind of life he lived, but that's the way I roll with it. As far as, you know, business and money, we don't waste money on things that don't benefit my family tree and the future family members. And we don't spend money on impulse. So if you're wanting to start a business, I can tell you the hardest hurdles to get over when starting a business is negativity. For some reason, people's comments are just negative. You have to break through that. I remember trying to get my first SBA loan, and they laughed at me and said my idea wouldn't work. My greatest achievement in life, though, was picking Janita as my wife. She is nothing but positivity. When we first got married, we were broke. Our car didn't even have reverse. I literally had to open the door, remember, and put my leg out to push that car back. Times were tough. And I told her my idea. I said, let's build a billboard. And she had just got one of her very first credit cards. I think it had like 3,000 credit limit. She gave it to me and said, I believe in you. Let's do it. I mean, here we are today, you know, over 200 billboards. So, and we're still doing it. We've got two new ones going in. So we're still expanding both companies. So let's remember that words can influence others. It can create dreams or break dreamers. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. That's verbally or financially. And then Galatians 6:10, therefore we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. So when you have the opportunity to help others financially or through words of positivity, do so. It creates the next leaders. Thank you.
That's good stuff right there. We can start revival tomorrow night. Brother Martinez, lead off revival. Amen. That was awesome. Thank you, Brother Martinez, for sharing that with us. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want Sister Taylor Malone to come at this time, if she would. We love Sister Taylor here at the UPC of Paris. Amen. And she wears many hats. She's a mama to five. She's a wife to Tanner. And she serves currently as our interim youth pastor. She helps Sister Candy. They're always doing stuff. They have so many good ideas. I don't even have to think about anything. They got just good ideas. And we thank God for her. But here a couple months ago or so, I forget the exact time, she had shared with my wife and I her testimony. And I thought it was so powerful and so awesome what God had done in her life and what God is continuing to do. And it's just the beginning. Amen. I want Sister Taylor to come and speak to us tonight. God bless you, Sister Taylor.
I'm a little shorter than that. Okay. I'd like to start in Psalms. Mine's a little bit heavier today, so y'all just take it easy on me. Psalm 32:3-7. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with the songs of deliverance. This part of my testimony that I'm about to share is not something from a long time ago. This is something that God has been working on me over the past few years. I've learned that God has a very personal way of dealing with each of us. And for me, he didn't just heal me in an instant like he does with some people. It was a step-by-step process. I'm a little hard-headed. It takes a minute for me. Most people know me as Sister Taylor, a wife, a mother, someone heavily involved in church, praise God. But what you don't see is the struggle and the pain that I've carried for 20 years or over 20 years. As a child, I was sexually abused by another child for years. In fact, most of my family still doesn't know to this day. Growing up, I constantly remember the saying, love your neighbor as yourself. It tormented me. Because inside, all I could hear was, you hate yourself, you are broken, you are worthless, you are disgusting, and no one could ever truly love you, especially if they knew what happened to you. So I learned how to smile on the outside while silently breaking on the inside. I thought my silence was protection. I thought I was shielding the people that I loved. But in reality, I was just putting a bandage over a wound that was never healing. As I got older, my relationship with God grew stronger, but the memories didn't disappear. They would come back again and again, tormenting me. I would say, God, I give it to you, but I was really just informing him like he didn't already know. I even told him, it's okay. I'll take this secret to my grave. This is a burden I'm willing to carry. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. God began leading me down a path of obedience. Little by little, through the obedience and the guidance of the Lord, I opened up and started sharing my story. I watched the lies of the enemy start breaking link by link, and I was terrified, but it was grateful, and I was amazed the freedom that God was giving other people through something that I had went through. Okay. One day, while I was doing housework, I got a phone call. The things that will happen to you on a random Tuesday. It was the person from my childhood. In that moment, God spoke to me clearly. Tell them what they did to you. I was shocked and surprised, but I felt a boldness come over me. Not emotional, not angry, just calm and direct, a boldness only God could give. And I said it, everything. They told me they didn't remember, but if they had done those things, they were sorry. But honestly, in that moment, it didn't matter whether they remembered or even took accountability. I just remember uttering the words, I forgive you, and truly meaning it with every fiber of my being. When the call ended, I fell to the floor, but not in anger, not in pain, but in a release of a weight that I did not know that I was carrying for so long. Honestly, I thought at this point it was over and I received the healing I needed and no more barriers for me. Fast forward to a little over a year or two, we were going through a family revival here at the church. It was a corporate night prayer, one of our last ones. And Pastor Davis was speaking about the church body, and he's just now hearing about this for the first time, so I apologize. But I had a vision while he was talking about the church body. I kept seeing a piece of flesh, a wound, and blood pulsating like a heartbeat over and over and over again. But it wasn't pouring out. It was just going with the beat. And I couldn't stop thinking about it for weeks, not understanding what it meant. And one night, how God does, I sat up in bed and he started speaking to me. I came across a word. If Google failed me, I'm sorry, but this is the word that it gave me and where God led me. Vasoconstriction. Vasoconstriction due to physical trauma is a vital immediate and localized response meant to minimize blood loss by narrowing the vessels. The blood is meant to flow, but the veins tighten from trauma to keep the blood from pouring out. And God spoke this to me. We are the vessels. We are meant to let his spirit flow through us. But trauma, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness, they constrict it. We say we've given it to God, but really, we've just held on to it tighter. Instead of healing, we are slowly suffocating spiritually. I believe that there is someone here. I don't come without a purpose. I know you're in this room because God has made too many things happen. You've been carrying something for years. You've buried it. You've hidden it. You've silenced it. You've built walls, and it's been killing you quietly. But you're not alone. Your testimony is not something to be ashamed of. It's something God wants to use. A testimony is like a treasure. It was never meant to be buried. It was meant to multiply. So I'm here today to tell you, stop hiding it, stop holding on to it, and tell someone, whatever it is, release it. Lay it at his feet. Stop letting the enemy win the battle in your mind because you are loved. You are not worthless. You are not broken beyond repair. This is not the end of your story. Come to him and he will give you rest. And when you truly leave it at his feet, you don't ever have to pick it back up again. The Lord told me he is wanting to open up the floodgates in this place and let the spirit flow. But we have to be willing to let go of the things that is blocking the blood. So I offer this to you today. Let go. If y'all would, please raise your hands. I would like to just pray over everybody, whoever this is in this room. God, I pray for the person that this was meant for, Lord Jesus. God, I pray the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the self-pain, the hurt, whatever it may be, God, that it is given up to you, that we no longer hold on to the hurt, God, and stop the flow. But God, we let you flow through us, Lord, and do what you have called us to do, Lord Jesus. I glorify you and I praise your holy name. Amen. Thank you.
Let's just thank the Lord for that right now. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your grace. Come on, somebody, talk to him right now. Jesus, we surrender our hearts, our minds, our souls to you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Taylor. That was awesome. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. And I want Sister Dot Lipscomb to come at this time. Here a while back, she had shared something on social media that she had written years ago for a Reflections magazine. And, of course, you know her story. If you don't, she may talk about it some here tonight. But we love Sister Dot, and I appreciate the stand that she has made and is making, and we consider her a pillar in this church. We thank God for Sister Dot Lipscomb.
Recently, a lady that I do not know contacted me on Facebook, and she told me that she had read my story in Reflections magazine. I mean, this was on Messenger, so it was a private message. She said, and I am just wondering if you will pray for me. And, of course, I did. And I've had some contact with her back and forth a little bit. But that let me know that you do not know when you put words on paper or when you speak words, you don't know how far-reaching that they will be. So Pastor had asked me to read, either tell the story or read it. Well, it's written in a condensed fashion, so I think for me to stay within my time limit that I need to read it to you. And some of you have already read it, but some of you do not know my story because you were not here and you didn't know my husband or my son. But I do have a book that's in the library. So if you want to know more of the story, Sister Taylor will help you to get that book to read. Or you can order it from Amazon. That's really not a commercial. I really am not trying to make sales. I just want you to know that it does tell the story of how that God led me through a very dark valley, but he was with me, right beside me the whole time. So this is the Reflection magazine, but I could not read it from here, so I enlarged it on some paper. It's entitled, My Heart, Trust in Him. When the call came from the oncologist telling us that my husband had leukemia, our two daughters and six grandchildren were at our home waiting on the results. The diagnosis was acute myeloid leukemia, a very aggressive type of blood cancer. After tears and hugs, one of our granddaughters picked up the family Bible from the sofa table. She opened it and read this scripture, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We were immediately strengthened by the word of God ministered to us by a 12-year-old. This life-changing news came the week my husband Jim was retiring from his job and 2 weeks after our son Kyle graduated from high school. Our plans were for the three of us to travel for the summer in our motorhome. Jim had just completed a CD project and had several churches booked for his music ministry. We had a route planned around these churches that would take us through several states and give us new places to visit along the way. This was a lifelong dream of Jim's. And Kyle, who was our right-hand man, he was excited about traveling and seeing new sights. However, God had a different journey for us than the one that we had planned. On June 26, 2013, Jim started the first round of chemo. Less than 2 months later, Kyle was suddenly taken from us in a four-wheeler accident. My world was shaken beyond measure. The only thing that would help the ache in my heart was to quote the words from Psalms 28 and 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. As soon as I would say those words, I would feel God strengthening me and helping me. A few weeks after Kyle's death, I started reading a book that one of the nurses gave to Jim about Psalms 23. It moved me to tears every time that I read it. I felt so comforted to know that God is our shepherd and he was watching over me and over my Jim. He was the one choosing our paths. Kyle's death and Jim's sickness was totally out of my hands. My slogan became, God is in control. He has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. On January 5th, 2015, a little over 1 year after Kyle's death, Jim went to be with him in their forever home. During the many months of Jim's sickness, the words of Psalms 23 were in my mind when I woke up in the mornings, when I went to sleep at night, and many times in between. It is still my daily comfort. Through this experience of extreme loss, I have learned what it truly means to trust God. It doesn't mean that we trust him to answer our prayers the way that we want. It means we trust that he knows best, however he chooses to answer. It means that we literally trust him with our lives. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. What I want to add to this story is how very important that I think it is that we have God's word stored in our hearts so that he can minister to us day or night, anytime or any place. He can pull that word up and put it in our mind because it is so powerful and it is such a healing balm to our hearts and our minds. It was God's word and his spirit that kept me standing when my whole world crumbled around me. And that's exactly what is helping me today. God's word, God's spirit. And I just could not live one day without him. So I want to leave you tonight with not my favorite verse, because I have lots of favorite verses in the Bible, but I want to leave you with my favorite chapter in the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Beautiful. Amen. Thank the Lord for that tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Dawn. Amen. You can trust the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want Sister Cynthia to come now and speak to us. And we love Sister Cynthia. She oversees and does our coffee room. If you like coffee on Sunday, give it up for Sister Cynthia. Amen. Hello, Sister Cynthia. Amen. 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 God bless you, Sister Cynthia. Amen.
So my topic that I'm going to share is living a consecrated life. So what does it mean to live a consecrated life? I believe John 10 and 27 relates to that subject. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A consecrated life has a relationship with the Lord. Not only do we talk to Jesus, but we also listen for his voice to guide us in our daily matters of life. A consecrated life is a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And that's what sets us apart. I had a friend that we Bible studied a few years back over in the Family Life Center. And she said something that impacted my life. And I want to share that with you. She said, "It doesn't really matter what we think that God thinks or what we have an opinion of. It matters what the word of God says." Isn't that right, Sister Dot? It carries us through many times in our lives. So we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. The scripture that I wanted to use, Pastor Davis actually used it two Wednesday nights ago and then this morning. And so I thought, well, maybe I'm going to take that for a confirmation because it's really too late to change it now. But the breakdown of Romans 12, 1 through 2, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service." It's not a radical thing to do to follow the Lord and to follow his teachings, which sometimes that's what the world wants us to believe. But it's our reasonable service to offer our lives back to God because he has done so much for us. And so it's by his mercies that we can be anything, especially presenting ourselves as holy and acceptable unto him. The next verse says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove," we prove, that's our responsibility, "what that is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." That's on us. That's the way we present our lives. We should present what is good and acceptable unto God. And there are many voices in our world. We know how social media affects us. And so we don't supposed to conform to that. We are following God's word. And we are changed and transformed by his word. When I taught junior high for many years, we often repeated this: what goes in the brain stays in the brain. So it is very important, whatever we read, whatever we listen to, that it is holy and acceptable unto God, because you will be transformed. You will be conformed to what you listen to. And so I did study a little thing from Queen's University of Canada. They said that an average person has 60 to 72,000 thoughts a day. I think I'm one of those that have the 72,000 thoughts a day. But the Bible says that God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. And so we need his word to shape those thoughts that we have. And look, 60 to 72,000 thoughts, that's a lot of thinking during the day. And we need his word so that our minds, we battle that. Our minds are our battlefield. And so we need the word of God to conform it into his way of thinking. Our lives, a consecrated life, should produce fruit. Galatians 5 and 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering," that's patience, "gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control." And the Lord gives us many opportunities to present our lives holy and acceptable. I don't have a Chick-fil-A story, but I have a Sonic story. The Lord has been very patient with me and teaching me, but one day I went to the Sonic. I love Sonic drinks. And it was an older Sonic, and I drove up to the little drive-thru or the drive-in. I was waiting by the speaker, and I could see all these teenagers in there, and they were just running around. I could see them running around. They were playing. They had their headphones off, and there was not another car there but mine. The first 10 minutes, I was patient. But by the 20-minute mark, I was driving up, and my thoughts were not holy. And before I could even tap on that window, the Lord, his word came to my mind about being patient. What kind of fruit are you fixing to show? And so when she came, she had the sarcasm all over her face. She was very rude. And I went ahead and gave her my order. I didn't act rude. I tried to be real sweet. And when she came back, I gave her a $20 tip. And I thanked her again for taking my order. And the sarcasm left. She knew she didn't deserve that. I knew she didn't deserve that. But how many times had God been patient with me and long-suffering with me? I'm so thankful that he doesn't give me what I deserve many times. And so I need to present myself the way he has gave to me. John 15:5 said, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And God gives you many opportunities in our daily walk. Among our family members, the privacy of our home is very important. Our children, our grandchildren, our family members, it's very important that we search out the Lord's will in our home and that we don't have two faces, that we are the same everywhere we go, to work, co-workers, to Walmart. I have a Walmart story. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm hyper. I'm not slow as molasses. And so one day I was over there and I had bought groceries and I was putting my groceries in the car and I saw this car come up to the side and they wanted my spot. And I was very mindful of that. I was trying really hard to go fast. And as soon as I slid up underneath the wheel, that person laid on that horn. It was so embarrassing. I mean, she stayed on it. And the Lord had already gave me my Sonic story. And so I just backed up and gave her a smile and a wave. You know, we're not to be conformed to this world. We are to be conformed to God's word. It changes us. It sets us apart that we can live a consecrated life. And through his mercies, just like Romans 12:1 says, through the mercies of God that we can present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord for that. Amen. Beautiful. Amen. Amen. Turn her loose on a Sunday morning. My God. Amen. That was good stuff. Amen. All of it's been so good. Have you enjoyed this tonight? Isn't it so good? Yeah, wonderful. And you can be seated. Amen. I want Brother Griffith to come tonight. And we love Brother Griffith at this church. Amen. I mean that. Thank God. Amen. I hadn't been here very long, and he called me one day and said, "We need to go take a trip." And he took me out to see Elder C.P. Kilgore and where everything had happened in Cunningham and the Mighty Revival, the stories I'd heard all my life. And God gave us favor that day to open the gate and go see the famous pond that the Lord used Brother Kilgore to rebuke the snakes, and they baptized all those people, and it was such a great experience. And Brother Griffith is a pillar in the church. Amen. He's 85 years young. 85 this coming Thursday. All right, 85. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And we thank God for him. And amen. You can't have too many white heads in the church. Amen. We thank God for every elder at the UPC of Paris. I mean that. We thank God for that. Amen. And ever since I've known Brother Griffith, I started coming here in 2007, chasing after Jenna. And ever since I started chasing her and I met him, I know a topic of his since 1969, as a matter of fact, a topic of his he has liked has been end time ministries. And someone said one time, and I'm going to let him speak, but someone said one time, "Well, my God, they're always saying God's coming back." Well, it's as old as the Bible. Apostle Paul was telling them, the Lord's coming back soon. And his soon may not be as soon as you want him to come back, or maybe you think it's too soon, whatever it is, but it don't change the fact he's still coming back, and he wants the church to be ready. So God sends his people to remind us to be ready. Amen. Welcome, Brother Griffith. He's going to talk to us tonight on the end time.
Last. When you get old, you get slow. Praise God. But I tell you what, it doesn't take anything away from your ability to serve God. Amen. Praise God. This pulpit, I was the second minister to preach here. Pastor Meyer was the first one, and I was blessed to be the second one. When I started my ministry out to get my, starting my license, the pulpit that was in the old sanctuary, I helped load it up, and Mike Flemings carried it to Anchorage, Alaska, which he's dead and gone, but I hope that pulpit is still alive in that church, praise God. Some of you people know this, and the pastor let me be last. I know why, because when you're old, you're slow, and you think of something that you feel like you need to say, and it's not what you're supposed to be doing. But I received the Holy Ghost when I was 10 years old in Vallon, Oklahoma. One of the classmates invited me to a revival. So we were walking, so we walked to the church, and the preacher was fiery, and you have to stop and think, this is 1950 and 52. He was fiery, and altar call was given, and this young man and I went down. We was just bawling and squalling, speaking in tongues. And I'll just say this, that's Vallon, Oklahoma, and that Baptist church will never be the same. It was a First Baptist church. Praise God. Well, I love this church, and it means so much to me. And praise God, and I love all of you. Thank God. When I was asked to speak, I started my ministry many, many years ago. But if you know, you are invited to ask God to use you in one of the 9 spiritual gifts, or 2, or whatever. And I asked God to use me in the ministry of teaching and preaching prophecy, and that if there was any way that he could, would put the anointing on me, that I could pray for people, and he would give me the anointing to lay hands on people and pray for their healing. Down through the years, God has blessed me so much with so many things, the wife and I, and we pastored 2 churches and 1 home mission church. And the song says it gets sweeter as the days go by, and that's the way it is. I think I'm supposed to have 5 to 7 minutes, and I think I've already used that up. Luke 21 and 28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." I don't have to expand on that. All of you here tonight know that you have got your head lifted up because of what's going on. Folks, it gets sweeter as the days go by, but I'm telling you, we're almost at the end. I started preaching this in 1964, and just about everything that I've taught prophecy on, most of it has already come to pass. And it came to pass just the way the Lord said it would. Tonight, as I stand here, I was thinking about right across the highway, across the loop, the Paris News, this week has started announcing there's going to be new brides in this area. And the pictures will come out very soon of those young brides dressed in their wonderful white dresses. The stories will come out with it. And then they're getting ready to meet their bridegroom. But right here tonight, the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas, is preparing herself for the rapture and the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. Hallelujah. The bride is watching prophetic events in the Middle East right now that I have preached on and taught for many years, as events in Iran and its shipping ports are prophetic. That's what's going on there right now. Only a few hours ago, Iran announced that they're going to stop up that Strait of Hormuz, the Strait of Hormuz. They are going to close it, or they've already closed it today. And I was blessed to know Elder Nathaniel Urshan. His great-grandfather, Andrew Day Urshan, he was born in Persia, which is today's Iran. He became a Pentecostal minister back there many years ago. He was a prophet, and he prophesied that the Middle East oil would bring about the rapture of the church and the Battle of Armageddon. And I believe he's right on course with his prophecy. He's been dead and gone for many years. President Trump says he has Iran, which is the old Persian country, he has them under control. Only he has not been able to encourage Iran to come to a peace agreement with him. Vice President J.D. Vance has set dates to meet with the Iran officials to talk about peace, only to find himself sitting at a table by himself. No show Jones. They didn't show up. President Trump, President Donald J. Trump, well known as a deal maker, he doesn't have an answer for the problem that's going on in the Middle East right now. He's come up against something that he cannot figure out how to get around it. But there may be an answer for him. There's a man somewhere as I speak tonight. He has all of the answers, is what he's saying. He has all the answers that's going on right now. He is somewhere on the face of this earth as I speak to you tonight. This could bring the timing for the world to call upon that man, because he is supposed to have all of the answers. And if it is time for that man of sin to be revealed, and you know we're talking about the Antichrist, there's something beautiful that's going to take place first. You read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. And this is to the church. For God had not appointed us, has not appointed the church to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's saying the church will not go through the wrath of God. The church is not going to experience that. The church will be raptured off of the face of this earth first, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will disappear from earth with the church when it goes up. And it will happen just before the Antichrist is revealed to the world. The Antichrist will come upon the earth like a flood, a great flood, and he will bring all of the evil with him. And things are going to be totally different because he's going to come in like a flood. Nobody knows when that day is, but fulfillment of prophecy cannot be stopped. It's even at the door as I speak tonight. No one knows the day nor the hour. And my advice to each person that's sitting here tonight and to your family that you can tell and your friends, I'm telling you tonight, we don't know when it's going to take place. But I will tell you this. I know this. Just be ready. For in an hour you think not, it will happen. And it'll happen just like the Lord says. Nobody can stop it from happening. It's prophetic. It's God's word. God does not lie. It's going to take place. It's even at the door as I'm speaking to you tonight. Praise God. If you will stand with me. Well, thank God. If you would, bow your head. Close your eyes, if you will. Search your heart right now. I'm not telling you that anyone's going to miss the rapture. But search your heart tonight. Search your heart for where and what might be lacking in my life. Please, I'm asking you. There's going to only be one rapture. Whatever you do, don't be left behind. Because there's no second chance. Let's just cry out to the Lord right now. In Jesus' name.
Let's talk to him right now. Jesus, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness tonight, Lord. Help us, Holy Ghost, to live consecrated lives, God, to meet you at your appearing, Lord. Help us, oh God, to make sure our calling and election is sure with you, God. Create in us a clean heart, God. Renew a right spirit, I pray, within us tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord. We worship you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we give you glory, give you honor, give you praise. Thank you for your goodness tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Griffith. We love you, my friend. God bless you. Hallelujah. Man, I say it all the time, and I pray that, not just because I say it, but I pray you live it, that repentance should be a daily ritual, if you will, that we live repented lives. God, if there's anything in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, God, cleanse me today, Lord. It's not that God doesn't have the power to keep us, because he does. Amen. But he does expect us to do maintenance every day. Amen. And he expects us to do the check engine light if it's on. Check what's going on and fix it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Griffith. Haven't you enjoyed this tonight? What a great, great night. I do want to say it's good to have Brother Newberry in church tonight. He survived the fall. Thank God for his goodness. Amen. We love you, sir. Good to have you. Where's the Clarks at? Raise your hand, Josh and Marlene. They got married last Sunday. Wasn't that awesome? What a beautiful celebration they had over in Dallas. And we love Josh and Marlene, and we're thankful for what God's doing in their lives, and so happy to have them a part of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. Amen. Amen. I mean, God bless you tonight for coming to church, and if you are a guest, we're so thankful you came on a Sunday evening. What a great crowd for a Sunday night. God bless you for being here on a Sunday evening. We love you, folks. Amen. Please don't forget ladies' prayer on Tuesday morning, and if you're able to come for prayer, be here. Of course, Wednesday night, we have church right back here for our midweek worship, and youth is next door, and looking forward to a great week at the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. God bless you tonight. Oh, yeah. What is that date? That starts this tomorrow. Yeah. Our kids' crusade starts tomorrow for all you parents. Bring your kids to church. And man, it's going to be a good time here this week at our church. I apologize about that. And don't miss that. April 20th, 21st, 22nd, 6:30 every night. 4 to 14 is the age. Amen. So please come this week to Kids Crusade. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll give this back to you, I promise. Before he actually dismisses and turns us loose, there's going to be a small celebration. It's not really a birthday party, but it is a celebration because our wonderful pastor is gaining another year of wisdom. I believe it's this Friday, correct? Amen. So we would like to invite everybody that's here. Pastor, it looks like your ride is coming down the side of the church here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to give this mic back to him for just a reminder. But we do want to invite everybody to meet back in the children's church area. We've got some coffee and cookies back there. Amen. Give our pastor a hand tonight. Praise the Lord.
Devil is a lie. Amen. I will walk out of this house. I will not be rolled out of this place in Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. We love you. Thank you so much. I don't expect anything, but thank you. Turning 40 has stressed me out, but God knows all things. God bless you tonight. Thanks for coming to church. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
That's great.